Judith Smeltzer, and this is Ballot 2010, an intersection special. The Florida primary is just 2 weeks away, and Orange County has two big races on the ballot. Voters will be choosing a new county mayor and filling the newly created role of school board chair. For the next 2 weeks on Intersection, the candidates from those races will debate the issues and answer your questions. We'll highlight the race for school board chair next week, but today we're joined by the candidates for Orange County mayor, and we'll hear from them next. Welcome to Ballot 2010, an Intersection special. Orange County Mayor Rich Crotty is leaving the office he's held since 2001. He can't run for re-election because of term limits. His replacement will be stepping into one of the most important political positions in Central Florida. The new mayor will lead a county with more than a million residents. He or she will be in charge of more than 7,000 county staffers and an annual budget that tops $2.5 billion. The primary is August 24th. It's a nonpartisan race, so all the county's registered voters can take part. If no one gets more than 50% of the vote, the top two candidates will square off in a November runoff. Three of the main candidates for the mayor's job are with us today: businessman Matthew Falconer, former County Commissioner Teresa Jacobs, and current County Commissioner Bill Siegel. Current County Commissioner Linda Stewart was invited but was unable to join us. There are also two write-in candidates for the race. You can find their details and links to all the candidates' websites on our website, wmfe.org/ballot. Well, thank you all so much for being here today, and I want to jump right into some questions. Back in June, the commission narrowly defeated a proposal to build more than 6,000 new homes in Southeast Orlando, the Innovation Way East project. Bill Siegel, I know you voted for that project. Linda Stewart, another candidate who's not here today, voted against the project. So I'm going to ask Bill, you to explain your vote, and Teresa Jacobs and Matthew Falconer to tell us how you would have voted if you all had been on the commission. And if you could use that to sort of talk about your broader philosophy about growth and development in the county. And Teresa Jacobs, we'll start with you this time.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. I would have voted against it as it was put out. In 2006, I actually voted for the Innovation Way corridor. I think that made good sense. There was one particular area that I did not support in 2006, and that was what I refer to as the Turkey Creek tributary. It was the area between Turkey Creek and the Econ. And that was the area that became the source of, I think, the most controversy in back in June. And that's where your split vote came down, because you had half the commission members who said, we don't want to see development in that corridor. In 2006, I asked to have that corridor, that small area, taken out of the development blueprint. And in 2010, I saw, you know, that obviously a lot of support for that. I wish we'd had that in 2006, because I think that it misled the property owners at the time to give them the green light that at some point in the future that would make sense. And they argued that. They said, hey, you know, 2006, you guys voted for this. Now you're telling us it doesn't make sense. So I think it's very important. Big role of government. We have several key things that we do. We provide public safety. That's our first and foremost important goal. But we also have a major role to play in planning for where development occurs and making sure that the infrastructure is in place to serve it and the environment's protected. And if you've followed my voting record on Orange County Commission, that's where I come down. I'm not pro-growth. I'm pro-growth. I'm not anti-growth. I'm for the right growth in the right place that provides the infrastructure to preserve our quality of life and make sure that we still have good schools, good roads, good transportation, all the elements that make this a great place to live and work.
Matthew Falconer.
Well, thank you. I am very pro-business, but I actually came out against the IWE project because the residential density was too great for that rural area. I believe that as we get away from the urban core, the residential densities must decrease. Otherwise, we put demands on roads and schools and services out there that we cannot support. Really, we need to have a very practical and pragmatic thing. We can't be anti-growth. We can't be all the above in terms of growth. We need to be practical and pragmatic, because really what the decision in growth planning is the quality of life for the citizens, not only the citizens that are coming in, but the citizens that live in those areas. So I think we need to be pragmatic about it, and I think they tried to put too much residential density into that rural area.
Bill Siegel, you voted for this project. Tell us why.
Well, let me first say that one of the things that Commissioner Jacobs and I always agreed on during our term was it is so difficult sometimes in a short time to explain very complex problems.
Understood.
Yes. This, we worked on Innovation Way for 4 years, this county. We decided we wanted this high-tech corridor from UCF to the airport. We had tons of hearings. There was more planning on this than there was in the old Soviet Union. We had a jobs home linkage. We had a multimodal element. We had a land stewardship plan. When it came to Innovation Way East, there was a proposal by these folks to put a $50 million interchange in, which would have put 800 people to work for a year, $12 million in economic incentives to get ICP going as a new research park affiliated with UCF, a $4 million incubator. Every member of that commission, and let me remind Commissioner Stewart, who sometimes doesn't remember, voted for 6,500 homes. The difference came down to where, as Commissioner Jacob said, where those homes would have gone, 400 of those homes. My druthers would have not to have put them where the applicant wanted them. But it was a compromise because life is a two-way street, and we have to compromise and make adjustments. The closest, everything there is west of the Econ. The closest homes would have been 0.2 miles from the Econ, most of them 0.6 miles. I thought it was a good compromise to make. It didn't pass. We don't have Innovation Way. The Sentinel now refers to it as the land formerly known as Innovation Way. It may be 2 years, it'll come back. But again, I thought it was the right compromise to make, and we'll stand by that.
You're listening to Ballot 2010, an intersection special on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smelser, and we're talking with the candidates for Orange County Mayor. You can join the conversation at the Florida Talks blog, and while you're there, you can see what public radio listeners around the state are talking about. There's a link to the blog on our website, WMFE.org/intersection. Well, let's move on to the topic of public transportation, and certainly it's something I know you all have debated a lot, but tell our listeners, obviously, SunRail, the commuter rail system, is something that is expected to change the landscape here in Orange County and all across Central Florida over the next several years. The new mayor could be responsible for paying to operate that system when the cost is eventually turned over to the county. So, Matthew Falconer, we'll start with you, and how will you deal with this?
Well, I think that the way to provide for public transportation in Orange County is to bring Lynx into the 21st century. Right now, Lynx works on a hub-and-spoke system where basically the buses run up and down the major arteries, and it doesn't take people from where they live to where they work. It's a very inefficient system. I would like to take Lynx into the 21st century by taking all the addresses of where people live and where they work and putting it into a computer, creating an algorithm that will create routes that satisfy customer demand. We shouldn't have 66-passenger buses. We should have a series of different size buses that include the big buses but also 15-passenger small buses and use jitneys. I believe we need a combination of the public busing system and private sector to get people where they want to work. I don't think that rail systems are effective in Florida because we don't have the geographic density like other places do in the country. We are a 360-degree route, and SunRail is just going one basically north-south. So that's only going to serve 0.1% of our population. For us to have adequate public transportation, Lynx has to go in the 21st century, and that's going to be my focus.
Okay, Bill Siegel?
Interestingly enough, Mr. Falconer and I have a great deal of common ground on Lynx. I spoke with the executive director, the interim executive director, on Monday, gave him my thoughts. Many of those were what Mr. Falconer said, jitneys, smaller buses, eliminating the hub and spoke. And the executive director actually said there's some times when you can send a cab out for people instead of sending a bus, and you can use the algorithms and you can have some predictability as to the needs and during the times of the day for public transportation. I, unlike Mr. Falconer, I'm a big supporter of SunRail. I think it's going to change the face of Orange County. I think it's going to be a wonderful way to start a major public transportation system in Central Florida. Inherent in the SunRail funding is some Lynx money for some feeder routes. So big supporter of SunRail. High-speed rail is going to be an interesting proposition, but that was not our decision. That was a federal decision.
Teresa Jacobs, why don't you address links as well, since the gentlemen have to have
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I will. I will. Thank you. You know, one of the things that I think is important is to give credit where it's due. Links has already started, and Commissioner Siegel was just alluding to that, I think, in his comments, that Links is already going in that direction. They recognize the need to get away from the large buses that are going, you know, all going to basically the downtown core. That's not the most efficient way. And I applaud them for the direction that they're taking. And there's also a, it's called a commuter assistance program that's available that's very, very few people know about. You could, your station, I think, would be a wonderful advocate for getting the word out for how people can use private sector. You know, if I don't want to drive by myself, how can I find somebody that I can carpool with? Because maybe sometimes I want to drive, I need to drive. Sometimes I got a doctor's appointment, but sometimes it would be more cost effective to carpool, and I can work while I'm driving. And so I see our community and our culture evolving. A few years ago, there was a great resistance to transit, and more we're beginning to realize that this has to be a part of our transportation makeup. It doesn't mean we all have to use commuter rail. I do support commuter rail. I think it was the right first step. Part of our role, we talked about it a few minutes ago, is to plan for the future. In some regards, it's an insurance policy. If we see $5 or $10 gallon of gas, if we have a Middle Eastern crisis, that's not unreasonable, and we're going to be darn glad we have some options. As our population ages, we want them to have options. Everybody should not be dependent upon a car. It ought to be an option, but we need other options as well. As far as the idea of the operating costs, they're really pretty minor compared to our total budget, can be easily absorbed in a well-run budget, and we're talking about 2020. I'd also applaud DOT. They have not taken the cost of building it and you know, the capital cost, and turned it into long-term operating costs. And that's going to help keep our operating costs down. So we can handle this. And it's the right first step.
Well, this brings me to a question from one of our partners in Ballot 2010, the Orange County League of Women Voters. They wanted to know whether you would support a dedicated funding source for public transit and what that source would be. Bill Siegel, we'll start with you.
First of all, I will not, in this economic environment, support any new taxes, even the rental car surcharge, which I think in its time is a good funding source. I will not support raising gas taxes. I do believe that a well-run county, and one of the things that I like to see is we have the same headcount in 2010 as we did in 2000. I want to make sure that it's the same headcount at the county in 2020, with the exception of public safety. I think as our ad valorem tax base comes back and grows again, if we resist as community leaders, county leaders, to curb the urge to add new programs constantly, add headcount, that we will have enough money to adequately fund Links and our share of SunRail.
So no dedicated funding source.
I don't see a need presently.
Okay. Teresa?
You know, I've been very misunderstood on this issue. So let's talk for a minute about what dedicated means. For some, I think dedicated may be code word for higher tax or new tax. And dedicated does not, in and of itself, mean higher tax or new tax. What I hear when I hear the word dedicated is a reliable source that Links has that they know that's their source of funding. What I have proposed is that we take a fraction of our existing mill, not raise taxes, not shift taxes, take a fraction of the existing millage that we already take, that we already collect, the fraction that is equal to what we already spend on Links. Right now we're spending about $32 million subsidizing Links, and we have been, actually that's down from where we were in the past. Three counties in the region help fund Links, and so does the City of Orlando. Turn that into an equivalent millage, which is about, I believe, about a third of a mill, and promise Links that at least for the next 5 years, that's what you have, so that you don't have to come in every year and wonder, is Orange County going to cut the funding, increase the funding? It's not a negotiated process. It gives them a reliable, stable source of funding. Now, if property values increase and that millage generates more, they'll get a little more. Property values continue to decline, they'll get a little less. They'll be in the same boat that Orange County government is in, but they won't be coming hat in hand every year. So that's my dedicated source of funding. It's not new. It's not higher. It's not a shift. It doesn't take away from the funding that we already have for other public services and public safety. And the other thing that I have said that I would support, though, is the rental car surtax. And I would see the majority of that going to fund transit.
Okay, Matthew Falconer.
Well, I've heard that SunRail is not going to lose that much money, but I've done extensive research over 2 years in this project, and TriRail in Miami, which is already paid for, loses $87 million a year. And based on my research of comparable systems, I think that SunRail is going to lose $100 million a year and force cuts to public safety and education. That is why I have proposed that we take the $534 million that's in the bank in Tallahassee and shift that money towards education so we don't lay off teachers next year. We have a $7 billion budget deficit next year in the state of Florida, and we might lay off as many as 10,000 teachers, 1,600 of them in Orange County here alone. So I think it's a time for priorities. I think we need to put education, public safety, and social services over capital projects. We're at the worst economy in three generations here. We need to get our priorities straight, and I just don't think that we can either raise taxes or cut education and public safety because that's what the public wants.
We're going to go to the budget specifically in just a moment, but while we're on transit, I want to talk briefly about the Expressway Authority because obviously the Orange County mayor sits on the board of the Expressway Authority, so whichever one of you candidates or another candidate that might not be here wins will be on that board. And so obviously last year the agency raised tolls by a quarter, future increases planned every 5 years starting in 2012. So I'd like to know, first of all, whether you would have voted for that increase and why, and obviously there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the workings of the Expressway Authority. A grand jury report just last year described a culture of corruption at the agency. So, wondering if any of you would propose reforms and what kind of reforms. So, Teresa Jacobs, we'll start with you.
Great, thank you. No, I would not have supported the 25-cent increase across the board. I think that the Expressway Authority first has to get its house in order and it has to earn back the trust of the taxpayers and the toll payers. And they have not done an adequate job of doing that. They've made some, in my opinion, some financial decisions that are not justified. In addition, you talked, and this is not a new political position. In 2004, I called for an audit, an outside audit of the Expressway. It took me about a year to get them to open up their books to the comptroller. And I called for an overhaul of the Expressway Authority board to make it more accountable to the citizens. In terms of some of the things I would want, I would champion for them to do differently. They do almost all of their bond issues, and all their funding comes through bond issues. They bond the tolls that they'll get in the future. They are all negotiated bond deals. There's a lot of questions in this community and across the nation over negotiated bond deals. Orange County switched about 15 years ago to doing competitive bond issues so that you know you're getting the lowest rate. I would go to competitive bond issues. It's not just more cost effective, but it also takes out some of the questionable insider dealing, that culture of corruption we've been hearing about. I would also do everything I could to hold them to the same ethical standards that I championed in Orange County beginning in 2006. We want to know who your business partners are, and we want to know that you don't have conflicts of interest. And that's extremely important on the Expressway Authority Board. Open, transparent, and accountability is crucial. Now, they've got a couple of big projects that are really important that I totally support. We need to complete the Parkway.
Wakiva Parkway.
The Wakiva Parkway. Absolutely a high priority for all of us here in Orange County. Done a lot has gone into coming up with an environmentally sensitive parkway. But I also believe, and this is one of the few areas I think that Mr. Falcon and I agree on, I don't think that should be borne totally on the backs of the local toll payers, most of them that are held hostage to traveling on 408 because there's no other options. That ought to be, that's a state project that is part of our strategic intermodal system. I think that we need to look at state funding, and I would look at the Turnpike as one opportunity for funding that. They actually picked up some of the funding cost for the portion that went through my district, District 1. So it ought to be a joint partnership, and there's no reason that the folks that are stuck on 408 because they don't have an option should have to pay for that parkway single-handedly. But that does not mean I'm going to back away one iota from getting the parkway built.
All right, Matthew Falconer.
Well, great. I pledged to repeal the toll increase, and I've said it. I have a big billboard on 408, as your viewers, your listeners can see out there, and it's in big letters. So I pledged to repeal the toll increase, which I have two reasons for that. One is it is immoral, in my opinion, to put a tax burden on people that are struggling to keep their homes. We have people facing foreclosure. As many as 25% of the residents of this county are in default of their mortgage, and we're raising their tolls. People that live in Pine Hills and go to school in UCF pay as much as $1,000 a year for tolls on 408, and it's unfair. And secondly, that increase was basically to build a state road in another county, State Road 46 in Seminole County. I think it's unfair to have the taxpayers of Orange County pay for a state road in another county. And lastly, you know, with regard to the Beltway, we already have a connection from the west side of town to I-4. It's called the 414. I use it every week. And it gets there. There's hardly anybody on it. I see no reason to spend $3.5 billion in this economy on a Beltway that already exists.
Bill Siegel.
Thank you. Yes, I believe in looking before you leap, and I took a long view at the toll increase. Of course, we as county commissioners had no vote on that. And it came to the conclusion after looking at all the facts that if we did need any increase, it would have been a smaller increase to make sure that our bond covenants were covered. So again, would not have gone for the full 25 cents, but do believe there's some need to make sure we don't violate our bond covenants. As to the way the Expressway Authority has been run, that building was absolutely not needed, that big, beautiful building. It was
their new headquarters.
That was ridiculous. I do believe in competitive bonding. I think there's a lot of money that we could have saved in that. The Wekiva Parkway is extremely important, and I mentioned many times there's the age-old debate around the country as to whether existing segments of roads should pay for new roads, and good people can disagree on that. There are a number of ways we can fund the Wekiva Parkway, and I support the Wekiva Parkway. Luckily, we've done the PD&E on that. We have done some preliminary land acquisition, so we have a good start on that. Having the turnpike come in, having a private agency build it, differential tolling. There's lots of great ways that we can look at and debate to get that thing done, so I think it's vitally important that we do it.
We're talking with the candidates for Orange County Mayor on Ballot 2010 and Intersection Special on 90.7 WMFE. I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson this week. You can hear more election coverage online at WMFE.org/ballot. Let's move to the budget now. The county government is dealing with a $77 million budget shortfall. Things aren't likely to get any better for some time to come. So first, I'd like you to name three specific things you would cut from the budget if you became mayor. And also, are there any departments or programs that you would pledge right now not to cut if you became mayor? Teresa Jacobs, we'll start with you.
Thank you. One of the ways that I made decisions while I was on the commission, I think some people thought I was a very decisive commissioner in that I could make decisions and stick with them. But I don't make them easily, and I don't make them without doing a great deal of research first. And so to answer your question right now is a little difficult because I feel handicapped. There's some information that I would like to have. I will tell you one thing that jumps out at me. In 2006, we did a study and determined that there were some changes that needed to be made in the way the sheriff operates. Now, we're not directly responsible for the sheriff, but we fund the sheriff. And a great deal of our discretionary budget goes to public safety. We did a study, determined that they needed to restructure, have more deputies on the street, less captains in the office. We also found some other changes where they could save money. But we also found out of that study that they needed to have more deputies, more funding, than we were currently provided. And we increased our funding over the next couple of years to add, I think it was a total of 50 more deputies patrolling our streets. We have watched, in spite of the recession we're in, we have watched our crime rates decline. And as a result of that, we've also seen our jail population decline. Our jail population has declined 18% over the last 2 years. And yet, our personnel and operating costs have only declined by about 5.5% during that same period of time. One of the ways that I would look to balance the budget is to look at examples like that and say, you know, rather the original plan that was rolled out at the beginning of the year for balancing this year's budget was 7.5% across the board. I would take more funding away from the jail operational expenses, the personnel costs, and I would preserve more funding for our sheriff's office because the better job we do keeping our streets safe, the more money we save. And because public safety is job number one. I can't tell you that there's any area that's totally off limits because we have to be able to balance our budget. We're required to do that statutorily and constitutionally. But what I propose doing is comparing every single department in Orange County against other similar counties and private sector operations across the state to see, are we getting the most efficiency out of every tax dollar? And I'll be better prepared to answer that question after we have that analysis back. But I give you that one example because it's the one that I can point to very clearly.
Okay. Matthew Falconer, places you would cut, places you would preserve.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm running against incumbents who increased the budget by $1.3 billion. So they've shown they could expand the budget and not a very good propensity to shrink it. But the first thing I'm going to cut is my own pay. I have pledged to cut my own pay by 10%. And I'm also never, ever going to accept a public pension because I don't think that government officials deserve a better pension than the taxpayers they support. But I came here also to give you a copy of my book called Building a Better Local Government. It's subtitled How to Lower Taxes and Improve Services at the Same Time. I found $1 billion in potential savings every year. So there are ways to eliminate waste in government. Everybody knows there's waste in government. But why do people not take care of that? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shrink the budget by reducing waste in government. The three things I will not cut are education, public safety, and social services like the PCARE clinics and mental health care clinics. I think, again, it's immoral for government to cut things like PCARE clinics and mental health for the poor and build arenas for billionaires. So really, again, it goes back to a question of priorities. And fortunately for me, I'm running against incumbents who have a track record that people can question why they gave a billionaire a $600 million arena.
Bill Siegel.
Thank you, Judith. We have done enough of these debates where I think each one of us can give each other's answers. So it's rather, it's a lot of fun. I too, would never cut public safety. That is the job number one of local government. The state's primary job is education, and ours is public safety. I would not cut deputies or firefighters. There may be some ways that we can affect some savings there, but I would not cut the amount of deputies or firefighters, nor would I cut our social service arena. And Mr. Falconer mentioned our PCAN clinics, and I think those have done a wonderful job for the citizens of Orange County. You asked for three areas that I would look at to cut, and I think one of those would be to perhaps privatize some of our road maintenance. We already do that with our mowing. And I think we could look at privatizing some of that maintenance. I would make sure that our Environmental Protection Division is not duplicating what EPA, DEP, and the Water Management Districts do. We have 90 people there. 30 of them are being funded through pass-throughs, so they're just administering other plans. But I want to make sure that we're just not duplicating what the other agencies do. And at the jail, I think there's some efficiencies that we can do at the jail. Certainly, our jail population is down, and you cannot bring the amount of people there up and down as the jail population goes up and down. But I think there's some efficiencies to be had there.
Matthew Falconer, Teresa Jacobs, and Bill Siegel are running for mayor of Orange County in the primary election on August 24th. Thank you all so much for joining us on Ballot 2010.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
And again, County Commissioner Linda Stewart was invited to join us, but was unable to be with us today. That's all the time we have for today's debate, but our coverage continues online at WMFE.org/ballot. There you can hear even more from the Orange County Mayor's candidates, including their positions on the county ethics code, campaign finance reform, and the county's role in dealing with homelessness. Next week at this time, we'll hear from the contenders for the new position of Orange County School Board Chair. They'll be taking your questions, so email them to ballot@WMFE.org. Plus, share your thoughts about all the primary races at the Florida Talks blog on the Intersection website, WMFE.org/intersection. While you're there, you can also download our podcast. Intersection is made possible by WMFE listeners and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This has been Ballot 2010, an Intersection special. I'm Judith Smelser in for Mark Simpson this week. Thanks for listening.